Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I'm delighted to say that my guest this week on Stand Out with myself, Ian O'Connell, is Mary Lucy. Mary is the founder of Career Ahead, and she is an education and career consultant. Mary has worked in education, training and career management for many years in both third level, further education and apprenticeships. We will be talking about the CAO coming out today, people going into college, not getting the points that they want, how to go into courses through back doors, and like she said, you might get the points that you want when you're a CAO and your results come out, but there's back doors into everything, and I think that's something very important to know. Like myself, I was telling her I wanted to be a physiotherapist, but I knew for a fact that I wouldn't get the points, so I said I wanted to go into an apprenticeship. But then, obviously, my accident happened, and I done my 8-week course in Kerry College, and then I done the 52-week course. I done the work experience then here on Radio Kerry, and they couldn't get rid of me, and I'm still here presenting my own show. So if you want to get in contact with me throughout the show with any questions or requests, you can contact me through my Instagram, ianoconnell321, or drop me an email on my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. Mary, come here. Thanks a million now for coming in today. How are you?
You're more than welcome. I'm great. Busy time at the moment, Ian, now, but I'm great.
Very busy day today.
Busy day today. The CAO offers are out at 2 o'clock. So there will be a lot of anxious, leaving certs and parents today and guardians, all hoping for the best for their son or daughter, and each of the students are hoping for the best offer that they can get.
Yeah. We were just saying there before we went on air about, I was saying, do you know, in 6th class you must pick your subjects for secondary school. It's very early, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the whole system really, in some ways, is not in favour of the student.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, when you're 11, 12, 13, you're moving into secondary school and you're faced with a list of subjects that you have to select. Now, some schools give them tasters for a couple of weeks, you know, or in first year they give them a taster, which is a great idea. But some schools, they have to select subjects and they have no idea what really the subjects are. And they can have a knock-on effect then as to, for example, what they can select for the Leaving Cert, and then again, what courses they may or may not be able to apply for. So it does need to be considered carefully, and they need to research it and get support and help when they are looking in the different directions. Now, I will say most students know what they like and don't like. And I believe that if you follow what you like and do what you like and try and eliminate all the things you don't like, whether it's, you know, English, Irish, whatever you have to do, that's the best way to go.
Yeah.
Because you normally are very good at what you like doing. Like you love the radio. You love
exactly.
doing it. You're very good at it. You know, we're all good at something.
And the
if
main
we can
thing.
Try and find that, we excel in it.
To enjoy it. It's the main
Absolutely,
thing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Do you want to just paint a picture for the listeners growing up? You're a Limerick woman.
I am a Limerick woman, and it's funny because when I'm going back to Limerick, I say I'm going home.
Yeah.
And then when I'm coming back to Kerry, I say I'm going home. And my dad, who lives in Limerick with my mum, he was a Kerry man, and I always wondered why he used to say when we were in Limerick and he was going back to Kerry, he was going home. Well, I thought, why isn't our home his home?
Yeah.
And I'm in the exact same situation myself now. Yeah. So I was born and raised in Limerick. We had a business at home, family business. So we all worked in the family business from the time we were very young. So that's probably the early rising where it started, actually, because the shop used to open up at about 6:30 in the morning. And anything that needed to be done, we all kind of lent a hand. My mom and dad ran that business, a shop, a cafe and a garage, for many years. And they offered a lot of employment to the local to students, to local people, and to us as well, obviously, and their own grandchildren, etc., as they came along. I went to school in Laurel Hill in Limerick, and I went to college and I did a business degree. Don't ask me to this day why I picked a business degree. I don't remember researching anything about it or getting any advice, really. I initially wanted to be a primary school teacher, but...
Really?
Yeah. Again, I'm not sure why, but I did want to. I suppose I always liked the teaching concept, but a teacher, a career guidance teacher, told me that she didn't think it was the right career for me because I didn't look like a primary school teacher, whatever that was supposed to mean, I don't know. So
you'd either take it as a good or a bad thing.
I don't know what that meant. I think it was probably a bit wild looking, maybe. And so I decided to do business studies purely because we had business at home and that's what I'd been raised with. But I had no idea what was involved in reality. So I did my business degree and first year, I barely struggled through first year.
Really?
It was a huge change, absolutely. I barely struggled through first year and I started in second year and then I went on a work experience. And I'd opted to do HR as my specialism in college.
It's very important, that work experience area,
absolutely.
Isn't it?
Absolutely. But that actually changed my entire view of the course, my entire, like, you know, just my entire view of the course, at the college, etc. And when I came back and I realised the role I could have within a business, my marks transformed absolutely upwardly, thankfully. And I worked in the company that I was working in throughout all of college and all the holidays, etc. And it really did, it made me focused. It had a huge impact on me because I could see the relevance of what I was doing and it made sense, whereas up to then I was kind of going along blindly, to be honest. When I finished college then, I didn't really know what I wanted to do, I suppose, at first. And then I decided to do a further qualification that would qualify me to teach.
Was this long after college?
I went straight from my degree into postgrad. Yeah. So then I was qualified to teach and I absolutely loved it. I found I would have quite a creative mind and I would be quite innovative. So if there's I don't really see problems as such.
Yeah.
I always think there has to be a way of getting over it. And that's the way I dealt with the teaching as well. So if somebody was having a difficulty or if I found something was particularly difficult, I'd find an easy way around to resolve it. And I still feel the same about things today. So I did. Now, even though I qualified to teach then, I actually never actually taught in a secondary school because I went to work for business for a while first. And then the ITT contacted me that they had in Tralee here, that there was somebody out sick and would I come in and take over and lecture.
And were you there long in the...
I was there 25 years, 27 years in the end.
It's the MTU now, isn't it?
MTU now. So, I mean, that has made huge strides and advancements.
Yeah.
So I went in there as a lecturer in business studies and supposedly for 6 months and 27 years later I left. So a long stint there, but very enjoyable. I loved it there. I absolutely loved working with the students.
You were in Kerry College as well, were you?
I was, yeah. After. So I left in 2017 and I took over as principal in Kerry College. And my remit there was to rebrand it and to expand it to a college.
Yeah.
That was wonderful. I absolutely loved working there.
They do some great work there, don't they?
Absolutely fantastic. And I mean, the students are just transformed in the year they're there. You can see it before your eyes, you know. In their confidence, in their self-esteem, in their ability to progress, either to work or to college or whatever. They really are. They're transformed. And I opened up, Denny Street then was part, when that was opened up, that campus, and I felt it was important to have a presence in the town centre.
Yeah.
Because the more you can bring into the town centre, the more it brings to business. You know, the knock-on effect is amazing, you know. So that happened then. Then in COVID happened, and when COVID started to kind of calm down a little bit, I'd always wanted to set up my own business in the back of my mind. Always.
Yeah, yeah.
So in 2020, I decided to take the plunge and I left my position as principal in Kerry College and I set up Career Ahead. And I'm still at that.
Still at that.
Today, up till so far, yeah.
Kerry College, that's actually, like I've said to the people here and I've said on this show loads of times, if you had asked me before my accident to go into radio, I'd have ran a mile.
Yeah.
Not a hope. And like, I'd done the I think it was an 8-week introductory course to radio in Kerry College. And then I stayed on and done the 52-week course. And now I'm working here. And it just goes to show like the way you can turn around. And for people that are thinking of doing the course, they can get like more information online for the radio course, and it's
absolutely,
they've loads of courses there, like hairdressing and everything, don't they?
Yeah, there's a huge amount of course, yeah. And I mean, I think that a lot of time people, it's just lack of knowledge. They just don't know what's out there. And I deal with so many students, and through Career Ahead, I deal with kind of, you know, secondary school students, college students, people that are applying for jobs, that are moving jobs, etc. But people just are not aware of all the avenues that are there, and they're not aware of the different, even locally here, what's available and how it can allow you to progress and to move on or move across or step up or whatever you want to do. I mean, there's a route for everybody. I really believe there's an avenue for everybody out there, and they should explore all those avenues and see what best suits them. And it can make a huge difference financially for them if they look at the different options. Some are far more expensive than others, but you still get the same location at the end of the day. So that's important that they do that, I think,
I was looking on Career Ahead online last night, and like, it looks successful. Like, do you know what? It has been since you started it. So what does it provide? Does it do people contact you? Do you meet them in person, or is it on like Zoom calls, or how does it work?
Say if somebody has an issue or they need support something, normally they would contact me, and then I work with them over Zoom normally. I find sometimes people say, I prefer to work with you in person, and you know, but in actual fact, I always say, well, we'll try Zoom, and if you're not happy, well, then we can look at working in person. But in actual fact, there isn't anybody, there was one person who decided not to progress to meet me over Zoom. But that was the only person in the last, say, almost 3 years. But everybody else felt, actually, do you know what? This is working perfectly. I'm well used to dealing with people, I suppose. I have dealt with thousands and thousands over the years. So I think if you can develop a good rapport with somebody, and, you know, they can start to open up. You have to remember as well, if it's Zoom, they can have the meeting in their own room, so they're very comfortable. So they're not kind of dreading meeting someone new and kind of telling them all about themselves, etc. And if they feel it really gets bad, they can turn their screen off and turn their laptop off, I keep telling them. So it seems to work very well. Depending on what they need, normally one session is nearly will suffice. Because of the information I give. Say again, I do mock interviews for different roles. People are going for promotions, people that need assistance with application forms. You know, there's such an array out there, and like, it's so difficult to get support. And I would genuinely want to support the people. I probably have two vested interests, because I really want to ensure that the right advice is given. You know, I research more for them if I can all the time, and that I love to see them succeeding. I always got great satisfaction when someone succeeds, or they develop, or they progress.
Would that be one of the most satisfying things about
Yes. And through all my career, I think when I was, in the MTU Kerry, when I was in Kerry College, I got great satisfaction from the job when I saw how people can progress and develop. And I found it extremely frustrating when I see somebody giving up because they haven't the confidence, or they just haven't the willpower, when I know that they can do it.
They have
And I think, I find it frustrating. And I find it frustrating then as well, I deal with a lot of students who drop out of college, and I can see the minute I meet them that if there had been intervention a little bit earlier on...
Is that more common these days, Mary?
I think the dropout rates are appalling for some courses, especially, and across the board they're appalling, because when you think of the effort someone puts into doing their leaving, or you know, going to do a PLC or whatever, and then they get their college place, and the effort that's going to, you know, financing it, maybe working part-time, trying to juggle family and you know, all kinds, and then you start, and after 6 months, like, you leave it. It has a huge impact on the person themselves, even their ability to kind of have confidence in themselves and believe in themselves that they can do this, you know. Whereas if someone can step in, like, and if they just have somebody that can say, look, I need a hand here, I don't know what I'm at, this is so different from secondary school, this is so different from being at home where I was, you know, and it's just reassurance they need, and you can get them over that hump.
It's the smallest things, isn't it, that might help them?
Absolutely. But there aren't people out there in colleges, or they don't have the confidence, or the kind of, they just don't know what to do or where to go to get these answers. So I try and provide those for them. And like, I find sometimes even students, for example, that might be really good sports students and they might get a sports scholarship, if they're trying to juggle, like, say, playing on a senior team and college and travelling, etc. It's very difficult to do that.
Yeah.
So sometimes they would I would get asked to meet a student and they may have already dropped out of college. So I, at that stage, I can't do anything for them. And they might have lost a scholarship that might be worth €50,000.
It's mad.
You know, so it's about like making sure like people get the right information. And if they don't have it, go and find someone who will find it for them.
Yeah.
You know, I do think, I think that a lot of times students feel they should go to college. They make the wrong choices and courses. They think because they've, you know, that they don't look enough at the different options.
Yeah.
There's lots of different reasons. And sometimes they just can't settle away from home, Ian.
Can be the smallest thing.
Absolutely.
What, for people out there, and I know everybody probably knows, but what exactly is the, even for younger people, what exactly is the CAO form and what's the first thing you should consider when filling it out?
I think ideally, it sounds probably a bit early now, but even in TY, I think, I know people are not in that CAO headspace yet, but I think they should start to look and see what do they really like doing. Is it a hobby? Is it a pastime? Is it an interest? And can they look at that, expanding that and maybe developing that and selecting subjects that match that for fifth and sixth year? So, you know, during transition year, if they can get their work placement, sometimes work placement is just seen as a token. You know,
they say,
oh, I'll go to work with my mum or my dad or whatever, and I'll sit in the office for, and that's that box ticked.
But stay on the phone inside in the office.
Absolutely, yeah.
Watch a bit of Netflix.
Yeah. But if they're clever, like, they'll use that even to see what do they like and what don't they like. And sometimes if you can eliminate what you don't like at that stage, it's as advantageous as finding out what you do like. So even at that stage, try and get into that mindset, you know. And then fifth year, again, start researching. What options are there? What courses are there? Are there scholarships that might be relevant that I could apply for? Can I shadow someone during fifth year? Because you won't have the same kind of pressure. So sixth year really should be just refining then the search.
Yeah.
What college will suit you best? What course? What modules on each course? So that you really are making informed decisions. That's what I believe. And you're looking at all the options. That's really important.
Not to rule out any options.
No.
I know this question, like, and I know a few of my friends have told me that it happened to them. TY, it can be an amazing thing for like work experience and stuff, and a lot of people go skiing in Italy and stuff. But do you think sometimes people, when they do TY, and a few of my friends have admitted that it has, it can bring them two steps back for when they go into fifth year?
Yeah. I have kind of mixed views about TY because I think it all depends, Ian, on the person themselves.
And how you use it.
Exactly. Now, it might bring you a couple of steps back from the point of view of the routine and studying and all that.
Yeah.
But if you have used TY properly, the developments that you've made, say personally, you should look and see, like, try and get a part-time job. That will, enhance your confidence, your ability to deal with people, to speak to people. You know, say if you're in a local shop and you have cranky customers and you have to deal with them, you know, you're learning so much there. Look, you might be able to go, if you're interested in language, could you go abroad for a couple of weeks and learn the language better? So it depends on the individual and how they use it. If they just look at it as what they call a dossier of nothing to do, you know, then they won't get the benefit they could and they probably will regret it. But if they put a plan in place at the beginning of TY and have certain outcomes that they say, I'm going to definitely achieve this. Yeah. If I'm old enough, can I pass my theory test for driving? Can I learn barista skills? Can I learn how to work in a bar and pull a pint, etc.? Because they're skills you can bring all over the world at any age and you'll get a job. Do you know, I want to learn an instrument, I want to do, you know. So concrete, definite goals. And at the end of TY, if they can tick all those off, that's a great achievement, I think. It will take them a bit of time to get back into the study, but not long, really.
Yeah.
They adjust pretty quickly.
And a lot of friends that I have admitted to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like you said, it's all how you use TY.
Yeah.
Like, I was going to TY and my accident happened on the 16th of August. So that was, I suppose, about 3 or 4
weeks before.
Yeah. So, and I know myself that when I went into TY, it was the different opportunities you get and stuff, and it's, do you know, them opportunities can stand you long term.
They can pave out your career.
They can, like.
Absolutely, they can pave out your career. I mean, one of my own sons, he was big into film. He spent the entire year in TY filming, going out. I mean, that's he went to college, studied film. You know, that's where he works.
Yeah.
So that that forged his career for him and made him realise, actually, this is something I absolutely love and I spend all my time doing it. So if you've that kind of an outcome, it's a great outcome.
It is. Another thing that I wanted to ask you about, LCA in schools. Mm. Do you think, and I know myself even from being in school, there'd be people in LCA and they sometimes they'd be looked at as, what way would I put it, not as intelligent. Mm-hmm. Like, there's, do you think there's kind of a stigma around LCA?
I actually think there's quite a stigma and if you could call it an academic snobbery around a lot of elements in schools.
Yeah.
I think the whole further education and training sector, you know, people assume that if you don't go to third level college, you're obviously not as bright.
Yeah.
People feel that if you don't get, you know, over 500 points, you're not as bright academically. But I think that the LCVA or further education training, I think that individuals learn at different rates. I think they learn in different ways. I think the Leaving Cert, the way it's delivered and the way it's taught, suits some people and they can get 625 points, which is amazing.
Yeah.
But that's only because it suits them. But another person who might be doing LCVA or decide they get 200 points and they're leaving, it doesn't mean that they don't have the same kind of abilities. It just means they learn in a different way. And you will probably find that as time progresses...
And at a different pace as well,
absolutely,
maybe.
As time progresses, it's the person who is interested in what they're doing will soar in that career, irrespective of the points or irrespective of, you know, the outcome. So I think it's important for people not to look like that at these courses. Other people, they have to realise everybody's individual.
Yeah.
They're all different. They will, move at different rates. I mean, from my own experience, in a lot of cases, students in third level college that come in, higher point students, if they're not interested in the course, the students that come in with lower points but that are really invested and engaged in the course and are passionate about it, they very quickly start to overtake the students with higher points when they're in the college, because it's a different learning environment, you know. And again, for the further education training or the LCVP people, if they a lot of the time they would progress to a post-Leaving Cert course, and they will again see, God, this is great, you know what I mean? Like, this is an area that I love studying in, and I'll succeed.
Yeah. When I was in school, something that I wanted to do was physiotherapy, but I knew for a fact, like, me in school didn't see eye to eye. I wasn't the most academic, and like, if my accident didn't have happened, I think I'd have went on and done a trade in, say, carpentry or something, because woodwork was my favourite subject. Like, I was very bad at maths and that kind of side of things. Yeah. I just said no. When it came to, like, history, I just didn't have the interest.
Yeah, that's what it is, yeah.
Do you think that, say, going into an apprenticeship now, like people going into, say, carpentry or plumbing and stuff, and I remember I worked in the Killarney Park Hotel in Killarney, and they said, if you can pull a point, you can work anywhere in the world, and it's all true. Like,
absolutely it is, yeah.
Do you think that it's becoming more common now, people going to trades rather than going into third level, going for like doctor or any other high job?
Well, as we spoke earlier about kind of the status, I think that people tend to view, you know, a trade probably to not have a similar status, but of course it has. I mean, sometimes even if a parent talks to me about their son or daughter and they say they love, you know, engineering, and if I mention an electrical apprenticeship, they say, oh, they're very good academic. Yeah. They're not good with their hands, etc. But I mean, anybody who knows anything is that, like, there's smart technology in houses, etc. It is, my God, you need to have a good mind to do, you know. So
even my own situation, I have the Bluetooth lights in the house and stuff to turn on.
Yeah, I mean, if you consider like that, you need a huge intelligence, of course, for any job and to be skilled at anything. But of course, so people need to realise with the apprenticeships as well, there's a huge drive to promote apprenticeships. And whereas they were considered just the trades, now there's over 60 of different apprenticeships, and you can do.
Is there?
Yeah, and you can do an apprenticeship in lots of areas that. For example, you can do a level 8 apprenticeship in international finance, which is the equivalent to doing an honours degree.
Yeah.
So people are starting to realise, hang on, like, if I can get the same level qualification through an apprenticeship model, why would I not do that? whereas I don't have to pay. You pay it from the beginning, and the college fees when you attend college, like, are minimal compared to full-time student. And they have a balance of both. So I think people are starting to become aware, do you know?
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying about checking all the avenues. And just when you mentioned physiotherapy, even though you say you wouldn't have got maybe 625 points that you needed for physiotherapy, there are backdoor routes into all of the professions. Absolutely.
That's important to know,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely. So, you know, because sometimes someone said, I dreamed of being a physiotherapist, but like, there's no way. But when we go through different routes that they can go, it may be longer and it may be take, you know, the more scenic view, but you can still get to where you want to for every single career.
How does a PLC course work after school? Is it kind of like if you don't get points and you don't know what you want to do? How does a PLC course actually work?
Well, the way it works is that it is a course. Say it's a QQI level 5 qualification. It is a course that is made up of 8 mandatory modules, and the modules are all related to one particular area. So, for example, when you think about doing your leaving cert, you have 7 subjects or 8 subjects, varied, and you don't have options as such, really. You have to select some, and some are mandatory. With the PLC, you can decide, okay, you said you would have loved to be a physiotherapist.
Yeah.
So, for example, there's a physio assistant PLC. So all the modules, you have some mandatory, and some of them, all the other modules, and they'll be related to physiotherapy.
Yeah.
And giving you an insight into what would it be like to work as a physiotherapy assistant. If it was nursing, they're all related to nursing. If it was business, they're all related to business, etc. So that's why if people are coming from secondary school, and whether they have 600 points or they have 200 points, it doesn't make a difference. They can apply to do a PLC, and they will still... it will still be an advantage to them, because it will give them an insight into a particular course discipline. So if, for example, just say you were thinking of going nursing.
Yeah.
If you do that and you realise, oh my God almighty, I could not put up with this. You have to do a couple of weeks work placement in hospital. And you say, no way, I'm not doing this. So you can then decide, I'm not going to go nursing. Or else you can decide, I am going to go nursing. But if you didn't have enough points in your leaving cert to do it in Ireland, you can apply to do it abroad if you
abroad.
Want to. And also then, all the colleges have certain number of places reserved for PLC students. So if there's a course that has a very high points, and obviously you can't get those high points through your PLC course, the max you can get is 390 if you get full distinctions. All right. But they have some reserved, and they will offer those to some people that are on the PLC courses.
Yeah.
So what happens is that your PLC's courses are converted to CAO points, and then you can apply to third level college using that as well if you want to.
And that's very important to know, isn't it?
Absolutely. And it also then as well, it prepares some people for going directly into employment. So there's kind of two focuses, either progression to college to third level or going straight into employment.
And that's very, very important, like, for people that don't get their points.
Today,
obviously, like you said, is a huge day for anyone that's there. 2 o'clock is the CEOs are out. And like, obviously, people are nervous and anxious, because it's going to, like, some people think it'll determine their future, when in reality, you know, like you said, there's back doors. What would you say to people that are, I suppose, very anxious for the CEOs that they mightn't get what they want?
Yeah. Every year I deal with a large number of students who feel devastated.
Yeah.
And some will feel devastated today. But if you give them a day or two, the devastation will pass.
Yeah, yeah.
And I would advise them to review what they are being offered. If they're happy with it, they can take it.
Yeah.
If they're not happy, don't just opt for a college course because they think they should go to college. If they are not happy with what they're offered, research what's out there, investigate other options for them, and look at all options before they make any decisions. I would say, ideally, if the CAO form is completed properly prior to the Leaving Cert being finished and prior to, you know, the CAO options coming out, if it's completed properly, they will have every option for themselves, and it will be completed so that they will get the best outcome irrespective of their points. That is really a key message, you know. Sometimes they don't get enough advice, they don't know what to fill it out properly, and they're left. I mean, every year I get calls, you know, I want my third choice, but I've got my first. and I can't work miracles, unfortunately. Yeah. I can try and help, you know, with the outcomes prior to all this, but something's just, you just can't do anything about them at this stage. But hopefully the majority of people will be happy if they get, you know, between their first, second and third choice, most people will be very happy.
And when you're putting down your first, second and third choice, do you write down as well on the CEO where you want to go, what college or...
Yeah, so what happens, it's all just online and you click a college code and each college and each code has a particular... each college and each course has a particular code, like PPS number. So yeah. It will all link into that course there. So you can put down your choices. So you have level 8 choices and you have level 6 and 7 choices. And again, people should look at the level 6 and 7 because they can always add on if they want to do a level 8 then afterwards.
And how does it work, Mary, that, you know, when you, like the CEO is coming out today, mm-hmm. and say college then is starting soon, whenever.
Yeah.
How would you, like, if you put down your first 3 choices and you say, I want to go to Cork or Tralee,
yeah.
and then you get whatever course you want, how would you, in that space of time, look for accommodation in whatever place you want to go?
Yeah.
So that always kind of... I always thought that.
So you'll only get one choice. You'll get one offer
yeah.
in level 8 and one offer in level 6 and 7. And the offer you will get is will be related to the points that you got.
Yeah.
So say you got 350 points and say you wanted to do business in MTU Cork, if you live in Kerry. And... That was your second choice, we'll say. And your first choice was 400 points, but you haven't got that. So you will get an offer for your second course.
All right.
So that offer will go out today for your second choice, because that's what you had the points for. You will decide to either accept it or whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
And when you accept it, then the college will be in touch with you saying, you know, we will confirm you've accepted, etc. So they will say your start date is. And now the majority of people will have decided, and they'll have a good idea that they're either going to go to Cork or Limerick or stay in Kerry or whatever they want to do. They should try and source accommodation if they can.
Beforehand.
If they can. They normally would, like the student accommodation allows you to, if you apply for it, you pay something like €100 or something like that, and, you know, it will hold a place for you. But unfortunately, accommodation has got so scarce. Like, I know for a fact some people will have to turn down college places because they won't be able to get accommodation or they won't be able to afford to get accommodation.
Sad.
Absolutely.
That was what I was going to ask you. Is there more pressure on students now, you know, if they get their points that they were looking for? Is there more pressure now, as well as everything else, that the price of accommodation has gone sky high?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, you know. So say, and there's some courses you can only do in Dublin.
Yeah.
So... if you're from Kerry, you're really at a disadvantage when
it's
you think about
money.
It, just location-wise. Because if you were somebody who lived in Cork or Dublin, or Limerick even, really, you can stay at home and attend college. In Kerry, you know, if it's a particular course that you have to travel for, you really are at a disadvantage because the price of accommodation is appalling. Students, like I know for the last couple of years, have just been travelling up and down every day for hours on trains and buses. They've been, you know, just staying in friends' house one night, you know, per time, you know. And, like, you can function properly, not only academically and to keep up with the work and everything, but also even from the social side and the enjoyment factor. Like, if you know I'm getting up in the morning at 6 o'clock to get on a bus to go to Limerick for 9 o'clock for a lecture and I'm back again. So you miss out on all the extracurricular activities.
It's crazy.
And all the opportunities that are there outside of just attending the lectures, you know. It is a huge problem and it seems to be worse it's getting. And the price of accommodation, like, you know, I mean, I know one person told me that, you know, their son in Dublin was sleeping kind of an attic, you know, that you had to let the stairs down and they had to kind of close the kitchen door to let the stairs down to get to his bed, and it was something like €1,200 a month, you know.
It's frightening.
But there was no options, so it is frightening, I don't know. Something will have to be done about it,
It's scary, something has to be done. It's like, it's enough stress, like, with your course, but then to give accommodation. Do you think it's common that people, when they write down their course that day, say I was going for physiotherapy and my friend was going for it as well, do you think sometimes people just put down a college to go to because their friends are going there?
Yeah. They do, unfortunately.
Or to keep their parents happy.
Yes, actually, yeah. I think like when I would work with Leaving Cert students or fifth years, I always try to work with them on their own, not to have parents there as well, yeah. because I feel I get a completely different impression of the student, and also they will tell me how they feel about things and what they don't like, whereas a parent might say, you know, I think they should do accounting now. They'd be a great accountant. Now, the parent has the best intentions in the world for their child. You know, it's not that they're trying to do anything malicious.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just the child made the last thing they might want to do is that.
Yeah.
So it is important. It is important that they don't let external factors, you know, even though they get advice from teachers, etc. At the same time, they must make the decision themselves. What would I like to do? Do I want to go to college? Do I want to do an apprenticeship? Do I want to do a PhD? And then in what area? So they must kind of, you know, and they must also consider, which sometimes they don't, is that if there's a course that can be done locally, but they're deciding to go to Dublin to do the course,
yeah,
they have to consider, like, can it be financed? Like,
that's
if I have
thing.
Others in the family, what is going to be the implications? If I go to Dublin, does that mean the other two in the family can't go to college at all? You know, so... And people tend to be probably a little bit selfish when you're a bit younger, probably. It's just that you're not mature enough to think like that. But I think people do have to think a little bit when there's huge money involved, and if you're not getting a grant, it is expensive to try and go to college. It's not only just the college and the accommodation, but you have to survive
the other
as well.
Things, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like for food and stuff and
absolutely.
On top
going
of
socialising and
that's
all
it.
That, yeah. yeah.
And reg week and all that on top of it. Do you think that... Like you said, sometimes with a grant, do you think if you're unsure after school, are you better off deferring a place and stopping, whether to start a course and dropping out? Because would you get a grant if you dropped out for the next year, no?
Yeah, what happens with the grant, if you say you're getting a Susie grant,
yeah.
There's a certain cut-off date with colleges and Susie that if you continue to go to college, it's considered, we'll say, that you have used up your college year, your
yeah.
college grant, for example. Whereas there's a certain date, normally it's the 31st of October, normally, but they should check for each course. And if you withdraw officially before that date, it doesn't have a financial implication normally.
All right.
So it's important that people, if they're very unsure, if they find they can settle in, now they do have to give it a bit of time because it's a huge change.
Yeah.
If they can settle in and, you know, that it's important they withdraw officially from the college. That means filling out the paperwork, etc., and to make sure they're completely done and notify Susie, if it was a Susie grant, to say, I'm actually leaving the course. Then when they apply, or if they apply next year, they will get their grant and there'll be no implications, financial implications. Yeah, that's important, because what happens is that if you decide to stay in the year, for example, and you say, OK, I'm going to stay in the year, even though I hate it, I'll
yeah.
still stay here, and say you fail your exams. If you want to do another course, your fees are doubled for that year, for the year that you already failed, that you got a grant for. You won't get a grant to repeat it for a year. And the college fees, if you repeat a year again at the same level, the fees would be doubled. So it'd be almost, say, if it was 3,000, it'd be almost 6,000.
It's a lot, like...
It's a lot. And people don't realise that, you see, and they think, you know, I have my accommodation paid for, I might as well stay up here and have a bit of fun for the year. But there are long-term implications, you know.
I know, just lastly before we finish up, I know somebody now that they're doing something that they've 2 years done in already
right.
in college, and they're abroad now, and they've only 1 year left,
yeah.
and they're after deciding to take a year out.
Okay.
Do you think that taking that year out, do you go back to where you finished off, or
yeah.
do you think sometimes that the year out, do you think it can be a good or a bad thing?
I think if it's an advantage to you, it's a great thing.
Yeah.
When you consider...
if it's for travelling or something.
Yeah, absolutely. Say at the end of that person's, when they have their qualification, if you think, say, I don't know, what are they doing? Do you know?
They're doing, I don't know, is it social care or something
okay. so
like
say
that?
Say social care even.
Yeah.
So you'll have, say, 40 graduates there. Of the 40 graduates, say, like they all will now have a degree in social care.
Yeah.
But one of those will have spent a year abroad.
Yeah.
And worked abroad, survived, have been independent, have dealt with the problems there. So that's going to give them a little bit extra to offer an employer.
Yeah.
Because the employer will say, well, okay, they're well able to cope with living away from home. You know, they had the initiative to go abroad. So you have to look and see, is it advantageous to stay away? And yes, of course it is, because they're learning a new language even, for example,
yeah.
if they're in a country that's not non-English speaking. So, and they might be learning about policies there and social care there, and they might volunteer when they're over there or something. So you have to look and see, what added value can you, you know, continue adding to yourself personally or to your degree, or so that you have something extra to offer when you finish in college?
It can look as a good thing for an employer that you are able to go abroad and survive.
And that you came back again then and you picked up and you continued with your course.
Yeah. That's it, that you didn't just drop out completely. And you're involved in apprenticeship.ie as well, aren't you?
Well, last year I had a contract for setting up the help centre for apprenticeship.
You were involved before, were you? Was there...
I set up the help centre last year for the apprenticeship, for Generation Apprenticeship.
And how does that work?
Well, that was an initiative that Simon Harris wanted to set up because he felt that there was a lot of support for people who wanted to find out about CEO courses and third level colleges, but there wasn't a central hub if people wanted to find out about apprenticeships.
So
I was asked to set up a support group, a hub that would offer support that people could come in and ring up and find out anything there was to find out about apprenticeships. And then the apprenticeship office then took that over once it was established.
All right. Last question is, do you give people, say, in your role now, what you're doing at the moment, do you give people advice on, say, CVs or that are going for an interview? Do you think there's common mistakes made when people are filling out CVs?
There is, absolutely, I do. I do all that. I work with people that are, say, have just finished college and they're, you know, looking for jobs and are moving on to further education or postgrads. I work with people who are working in jobs and they want to change or they want to move around. And also people that are going for promotions or they're going moving sideways even in the company. So I would do CVs, application forms, mock interviews. And there's quite a few, you know, items that you can pick up on that they're inclined to make mistakes with, across
Very
the board.
Very good. Yeah. And it's so important to have a CV made out well.
Absolutely.
Mary, thanks so much now for your time coming in.
Pleasure,
today.
Ian.
And I know
Pleasure.
That there's, like you said, there's going to be people out there worried about their CEO forms coming in. There's a lot of, I suppose, people stressed and everything, but an important thing to take from this interview is there is backdoors into everything.
There is, Yeah, there is. And to look at all the avenues to get to where you want to go, because there may not be ones that are they know about or they may not be traditional, but they will be out there.
Absolutely. Mary, thanks a million.
Appreciate your time. You're more than welcome, Ian. Pleasure. Stand Out with Ian O'Connell. Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.